You are now entering the realm of white hot business. This is where we get real about why what happens in the bedroom and your body is a reflection of your business confidence and visibility. I'm your host, sexologist and business mentor, Lauren White, and I'll guide you to become the sovereign, magnetic and sensual woman that's available for more success and satisfaction. Access all areas. It's time to transform your business from lukewarm to white hot. I am with a guest I can only describe as white hot. She is a passionate optimist, an avid traveler, and the founder and director of Luminate Leadership. With two decades of leading and developing leaders at Luminate and previously at Flight Centre Travel Group, she is passionate about people and their growth. She is renowned for her passionate energy, a genuine love for people, and raw vulnerability and authentic style that shines through in all that she does. Her intention is to embrace and enhance the human-based leadership skills such as connection, empathy, collaboration, and courage in as many leaders as possible. Her name is Cherie Canning, and I want to give her a white hot welcome. Cherie, welcome to the podcast. Woo, thanks. Spirit fingers.
Spirit fingers. Thank you. I was just enjoying listening to you with that introduction. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was my up close to the mic ASMR version.
It's like, I love
with it. With two decades of leading.
I'm like, who is this woman? Jesus.
Please, I want to know her.
No. Yeah. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. I really am. Thank you for the opportunity. And what's our chat?
It was an easy yes. And I want to let everyone know that at the time of recording this, we have been celebrating in the DMs and online and everywhere that Cherie's baby, her conference, Ignite 2024, has sold out just shy of 3 months from the actual date. Like, I just got goosebumps.
I am facing a whiteboard in our office that I came in on the weekend and just with whiteboard marker wrote sold out all over in my dad's writing, but all over for the team on Monday, you know, when they arrived in on Monday morning. Just wow, it happened.
Wow. I think this part is important because I would definitely see you as a high performer. Most of us who have our own businesses and keep going and keep expanding and keep offering are high performers. We want this sense of more for ourselves. But high performers are historically crap at celebrating, like the bar moves or the vision board, like the perception of the vision board changes or something new gets added. I would love to know, how do you celebrate something like a sold out conference?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I remember about a year ago, somebody said to me, I was too quick to move on to what's didn't take enough time when it came to what I deemed as some smaller things. But I really took that feedback on around as a leader, how important it is for us to actually celebrate for everyone or those smaller moments regularly. So when a moment like Ignite came, we were anticipating it because we knew we're X amount of and I brought down a bottle of champagne to the office and I said, it's here for when the day arrives. So I think it was part of almost the process and almost the ceremony of putting all the effort into selling the tickets. And now we have celebrated, but it's almost like a yes and, because it's yes, we've got the tickets and now the real work starts, because people have trusted us to actually put up good money to come to this event, give their time, give their finances. We need to make sure this is the best event they've ever been to. So I think it's a beautiful thing. We're excited that extremely excited. And so the celebration, we did a bit of a recap. That sounds a little less celebratory, but we literally went, what did we do this year that allowed us to sell out? So we just did a retro to say, well, what did we do on socials? What did we do with our energy? What did we do with the messaging? How did we do it? So that then this time next year, we can recall on that. And then there's champagne and just acknowledgement to the whole team and everyone's
brilliant. Brilliant. You've used a key word there, which is acknowledgement. And I might have even said this when I was guesting on your podcast, but my favorite definition of libido is the ability to give and receive pleasure, enjoyment, and acknowledgement. And that acknowledgement piece, it's a full experience in itself that so many people are looking for, especially when we start running our businesses. It's like, oh, where's the acknowledgement? But I did this thing. Like, are people buying? Are people seeing this? Are people like, or did I do it well? Like, I don't have a boss to tell me to give me a performance management review anymore. Like, the acknowledgement piece is really important. So I just want to put that in bold and highlight it for everyone listening, is that that is a very understated, very underutilized aspect of celebration and refinement and expansion. And you're doing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. How did you sell out this conference? Can you share with us what you felt worked really well for you this time around?
Yeah. So this was literally the conversation we had as a team, and we asked ourselves the same question. How did that happen? It's not a fluke. It was 250 tickets, so it wasn't, 30 people.
Yeah.
And actually, just a little side note, we upped the price this year as well. So even though everyone's talking about the economy and yes, all of those things are real, we actually up the price. So I was nervous about that in the beginning, and we said, oh, we'll see how we go. But again, I guess the expense of running a conference is more expensive. So it wasn't from a profit grab and a greedy perspective, but more just at a ticket value perspective. There was a little bit of fear walking in, but we went in anyway. So how did we sell it, even raising a cost? I feel like there was an offering this year that we didn't have last year for tables and community and groups. So we offered more. Last year we maybe sold a couple of tables. This year we've sold 17, 18 tables of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, which was mind-blowing. And again, if you actually look at the pricing structure, it would have been cheaper to buy individual tickets, but what we did in an exchange, and I think this is where it's about an abundance mindset. I really think this is where the what's going on behind the scenes with this event, this is where it's coming from, is we said for a table, you'll get peak area to sit in. So you've got priority seating, but we're also going to put your brand in the program. We're going to put your brand on the screen. On the table, your brand will be recognized so that other women or other people at the event can say, oh, wow, okay, Studio Pilates, LSKD, place, you name it, the whole list of organizations. So I think that exchange to say that they're connected to something that shows that they're valuing the women in their workplaces to get some brand awareness, but also that it's them giving back as organizations, they're giving back to the humans in their business, because I had some feedback from someone. They said, some conferences you go and you gain skills. Like you might go to a technical conference on learning how to do this or applying new principles. But this is really an inspiration, personal development, which is harder for some people to quantify, I think.
Yes.
Spend this much money. What are we getting from it?
Yes.
And so the fact that the most of those tables have come from repeat clients. And I think that's where I feel absolutely elated that people trust and see the value in what we're doing, and that they know that what their people that are coming to the event are going to walk away with value. So I believe it was value, and I believe maybe there's a bit of that exposure for their businesses. But I do believe it's like, we know this will make a difference in someone's life and we want to be part of it. So that's part of why I think we sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to bring up a key word, which is, I think of you when I think of this word, which is relationships. And what I, for as long as I've known Luminate Leadership, yourself, Andy, and the team, what I've witnessed is these ongoing relationships that are nurtured, that are fostered, that feel like partnerships. Like there's a beautiful yes. partnership and a dance between you and some of the companies that you just mentioned. Yes. And yes. some of them I know, or I've had a renewed relationship with in my own mind because I see them associated with Luminator yeah, that's all beautiful. The time.
That which, makes me feel yeah. so happy. Sorry.
Yeah, no. That's but for me, I just want to say that's what for me what business is about. It's about relationships that become partnerships, yes. long-term, deep partnerships. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so drawn to you and what you do is because that is in a world of like scalability and like mass delivery of things. For me, that isn't what turns me on because it's not what I access and it's not what I offer. I offer something. I go into deep partnerships with my clients. And I just wanted to say that I see the same in you. And it doesn't surprise me that those tables, people, that companies were coming back to nurture yeah. that relationship with trust, with a knowing that, in all honesty, regardless of the price, they couldn't not do this because what's the cost of them not doing it? What's the cost of them not refining their own quantitative skill set? So yeah. doesn't surprise
I really
me.
Appreciate that. And it does resonate for me because it is genuine about that connection and those relationships and the partnerships. And the whole why behind Ignite the first year we had 120, 130 people. And that exceeded my expectations. I thought maybe we could get 50. I actually booked a venue. Yeah, I know. Beautiful Paula Hindle and I were doing some coaching.
Yes.
And I said, I'd really like to run an event for women because at the moment we're working with all these companies and these different clients we've got, and there's not always lots of women in these. That's a big generalization, but at the top of each company, there's not always an yes. abundance of women. And then I'm meeting this female CEO over here, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, Sam from Cornerstone Medical Recruitment would love this person over here at this company, or this person would really benefit from this knowing this person. They'd really get on. And I was seeing my responsibility. No one gave it to me other than myself, almost like the corporate matchmaker, but the conduit between these incredible humans. And I thought, what if we can get them in a room and get them all to meet one another? And then the idea just kind of growing. And I'm like, well, rather than just a lunch, like, why couldn't we have speakers and conference, and why don't we make it even bigger than just a table of people? And I remember saying to Paula, I'm going to do it. And I'm going for 60. And I booked a venue that held 60 and we got to about 45 and like it was building. I thought, oh no. So I had to change venues. And it was so scary. Well, one, it was like, yes, we're changing venues. And two, like, are we going to feel like this venue is now too big and we're too small for it? Nope, got to believe in it. So that we hit 130. And then the next year we did 250. And this year we've done the 250 or 240, the 250 gain, but with 3 months to go. Yes. So that why for me, I think might be, I would say is one of the reasons behind it. With the whole why was around how do we bring these incredible humans together to really have their own collaborations and partnerships and be inspired. And I believe that's what's building. Yeah. I'll have to look at some stats here, but I would say that 80%, 70% of the tickets were sold before we'd even announced everyone who was speaking. So part of me, you know how you're like, oh, we need big speakers and headlines yeah. to draw the crowd. And yes, you have drawn the crowd. And also there was this incredible, like we had literally not even announced a speaker yet. We just gave the date and people started paying for tickets. I could not believe myself. And then went, hang on, because they're coming for our event, because they know that they trust that whoever we get on that stage, they know is there because we believe in them. We know we'll add value. We know we're aligned yeah. to the culture of this day and this event. So even if they didn't know the name or know the person's work yet, they know, I believe that people trusted us to make a good call.
Yes, incredible.
Yeah.
What there's like a gem within that. And I really want listeners to hear it, because I think people forget when you get stuck online, when you call yourself an online business, when online, forget these relationships started somewhere. How did these relationships, let's go back a little bit, because people don't know your story. And I purposefully didn't give it in the intro because I thought it would be really fun to acknowledge where you're at. And now let's look back a little bit at how this all started. So I'll give a quick synopsis. It was 2020.
Yes.
You and Andy, you'll see Andy's face. Luminate. He's such a beautiful man. It was 2020. You both got thrown into redundancy.
Yes.
And there was no doubt in your mind about what it is that you wanted to do. You looked around and you couldn't find someone to work for in order to speak, facilitate workshops, to inspire the development of leaders. So it was on you to create it, which is what women do best. We see a void and we create, right?
Yes.
How did this all, because in 3.5, not even 4 years yet, this is just a big, you've got a team, you're always running workshops, you're a resounding success.
Thank you.
How did those workshops get started? Was it through people you already knew? Was it through fostering your network? Can you share with us?
Yes, and isn't it a beauty when someone repeats that back to you and you're like, yes, this is all accurate. And I applied for 37 jobs at that time. Wow. So I wasn't just sitting on my hands. I was actively out there. And a few friends of mine, my stand down and redundancy, I had a 7-month lead in. So we knew that we were on stand down. I had a 7-month contracted another job where a lot of my colleagues were all placed into this call center on behalf of the Australian government during COVID. So we had a place to go every day, a place where people I knew were there. And we all knew that we weren't going back. It was just a matter of when we'd have the official call that we were redundant. So I will admit, in that time, I had not actually thought about running my own business. I was just trying to find the place where I was going to fit. And one or two very good friends kept saying to me, why don't you run your own? Why don't you run your own? What's stopping you from running your own? And I think the first thought was, well, I just had never thought about it. But now that I'm sitting here and I thought, well, hang on, I know the kind of work I want to do. I know that is it the whole Ikigai, Venn diagram of what the world
needs? Yes, yes. What you get paid for.
Income. I'm like, well, that's, to me, facilitation, a bit of coaching, but it's facilitation. And around leadership specifically. And I decided, I actually went a little kind of maybe an unknown fact, but I went to work for another person who was going to do a startup in this realm. Mm. And I said, I'll come on board. It was not huge money, but it was something. And after all those months of not earning a regular income and the uncertainty, I said, I'll go in. So I did this trial with this guy who didn't have any network, so it would all be reliant on me to find the network. He didn't have any background in learning or leadership, so it would be on me. He just had this thought, this would be a good business venture. And so we sat down and we had this lead to go and run some workshops with. And I remember so clearly the client or proposed client was on the phone saying, it's almost Christmas in 2020. My people are exhausted, but I'd like to lock in the workshop for next year. I said, I hear you. I got off the phone and the owner said, well, no, we need it this year. Like, we need to get things running. We need it this year. Respectfully, the client is saying no next year. Like, it's a done deal. It's just going to be after Christmas. No, 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 he said. And I just kind of had that moment where I went, I know what I stand for. I know my values. Actually listening to a customer really matters, not just for, lip service. Mm-hmm. If this is how you're going to treat a potential customer, this isn't going to work. And I shook his hand. I said, I really appreciate the opportunity to do this trial today. I don't think this is for me, and left. And I'm not usually, I wouldn't say that would be my normal behavior, but I just I had to listen to myself. And yeah. Literally the next week I registered business name, got my website up and running, and I put it on LinkedIn. So I just said to people, oh, I'm going to do this. I sent an email out to anyone I knew. Here I am, if anyone needs anything. And I got two or three beautiful Flight Centre friends who had also been made redundant popping up in new places. And they said, oh, Shez, can you do this workshop? One guy paid me a deposit before I even had like an invoice system ready, like it was just,
wow.
Okay, I'd love to. And someone else did the same. And then slowly building, another client was using Flight Centre. I guess they were connected 99 bikes and we'd all been made redundant. So they were the resources they were using from Flight Centre were no longer available. So they said, could you come and do work for us? And through that, I guess somewhat at some points reluctantly, because I'd heard people say, oh, you know, are you really going to put your face all over? Like, here I am, here I am. But in my intuition and in my heart, I thought, no, I am. Like, I shouldn't, I'm not boasting. I'm not, I have nothing to be ashamed of. Mm. It's nothing. And because other people starting in the similar work to me, they're like, oh, I'm not like you. Like, I don't post all the things I do. You know, some of my stuff's quite confidential. And I'm like, is that a bit of a dig? And it my own internal dialogue was like, oh, am I being too showy, saying I'm here, I'm here? And I thought, no, why am I saying it? No, I'm sharing the work we're doing. I'm sharing the impact it's having on people. And do you know what? It started building the business, because I didn't necessarily get random people I've never met. That's starting to happen now. But yes. At that time, it was like, oh, Cherie, I saw you with this company. Oh, Cherie, I saw you with that company. And then, for example, LSKD now for us are one of our largest clients and partners that we work with and have done for 3 years or so, almost 3 years. And that came from an ex-flighty who's the head of the community experience. She said, Cherie, I've seen you on LinkedIn. I've seen you doing, can you come and meet us? So it just opened doors, but then it is relational. It was all relational, but they just needed to see it somewhere.
That's it. All right. So you've made multiple powerful points here. It's about relationships. It's about keeping those lines of communication open. And it's about showing your face and being visible and saying, this is what I stand for. This is what I'm doing. This is what's available to you. That visibility piece through your voice, through your presence, not hiding away, not denying people the impact that is available to them as well, if they want this.
Yeah, thank you. And so often I just come back to myself if I have those moments of doubt or should I really be doing this? Is this necessary? And then I go, but what is the reason? What's the purpose? What's the why behind this? And in some cases, it is literally celebrating what people have done and achieved for them.
Yeah.
For us, I truly believe in the impact the work we do can have. So why not let people know that it's available if that's what they want, or even inspire them to do something themselves without us?
Yeah.
But that, you know, I do have this abundance mindset to that. Like, it might not be the direct, they might not be a paying client of ours in this moment, but they might be reading what we say and that's helping them in the workplace. They might listen to the podcast and that's helping them in their life. And yeah, I just believe in that then abundance, like how that knocks on and how that impacts, and there's enough for us all. But to put it out there, because I think we're denying people, and I see it in the work you do massively, and I see in the work so many others do. And I think, well, who am I then to not do the same?
Yeah.
You know, who am I? What's the Marianne Williamson quote about, you know, not shining a light and dimming so that others don't feel small, you know? I think, no, it's my responsibility to also do that with authenticity, with passion, not out of obligation, but out of the passion for it. Yeah, it's shifted for me over the last few years.
Yeah, yeah. So what have you said something before about doubt. How do you navigate doubt when it crops up?
I would say I am quite conscious of it. So, you know, I can hear when it's coming up. I'll often speak it out. So whether that's with a coach, with Andy, with my team, with myself in a journal, For me, it's getting it out of my actual body.
Yeah.
Put it out there and it starts making sense.
Yeah.
Asking myself questions to flip it, you know, but what if it could be better? We had a big scenario when Andy was shifting his responsibilities in Luminate and looking at taking another full-time job outside, and I was really fearful of how would that impact me selfishly. And I remember my coach, mentor, goddess in the boardroom, partner, Rachel, she just sat, because I was giving her the laundry list of all the reasons that I would be suffering and it would be hard for me and how terrible it's going to be. I was in real victim mode.
Yeah.
And she just said to me, what if it could be better? And, you know, when you allow yourself then to think, well, what if it could? And I started looking at those scenarios. So for me, it's now just catching myself, asking myself, well, how else could I see it? What if it could be better? Speaking it out. And, you know, above my shoulder, you can see the lead with courage. And I do also believe my own personal values about courage. We'll just give it a go. Like, how bad can give it a shot, but come back to my values, come back to the why behind it. And if it feels aligned, or as you would say, like that, you know, a full bodied, like, hell yes. And it's just, is it all yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just checking with that a little more.
Yeah. It's what you've said is about choosing expression over repression. And this is almost like a beautiful sister episode to what we recorded for Luminate when we talked about guilt. Doubt, very, very similar in a way, but what I'm hearing from you is, and I'm very aligned with you, I have to talk things out. I have to talk things out. I have to get things out. Even if I just close up or clam up for a little bit, it's not for long, because then I go, this doesn't feel good. I've got to get it out. I've got to be heard. I've got to, like, release this. Like, it's not going to do any good just staying in my body, staying in my energy field. It's not going to do anything. And I want everyone to hear that, is that it gets you speaking out, releasing, moving it out. It gets motion where there's stasis. That stasis isn't stillness. It's not a beautiful, I'm going to sit with this. It's something that's likely to turn into stuckness, especially when it's a lower vibration, like guilt or doubt or self-judgment or self-criticism.
Yes, it's almost like a freeze rather than it's like I'm frozen.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And as you're saying it, I'm reflecting on the question initially, because I'm saying with the doubt, my answer there is probably I'm reflecting on if it's a deeper question that I'm, you know, it's a bigger problem I've got to answer, or it's a strategy, I'm not sure which way to go. So, but in the moment, you know, there's those there are, I'd say, like, bigger pieces of doubt. But then there's the in the moment doubt, where it may be I'm feeling nervous about, I'm about to go and deliver a workshop and I'm doubting, are they going to like what I'm doing today? You know, those, like, momentary doubts. For me, that's music, dancing, singing. Yeah. That just moves it for me. Just literally the playlist that I know will just get me vibing a little. And then literally one song, or as I'm getting ready in the morning, doing it with my makeup, which can make it very messy. But, you know, I think just that getting that out with energy. And if I'm driving to a workshop, I will sing so loudly. So I think just moving that energy for any doubt, or I guess nervous energy that isn't necessarily serving me, that's not like that adrenaline in a positive way that's getting me amped up, but it's a little bit nerve-wracking. That's another way I deal with doubt in the short term.
Yeah, incredible. There's lots of gold in that for people listening. If you do get nervous about speaking, if you are desiring to alchemize that nervous energy into something more powerful and electrifying, Sheree just gave some great tips in there. And they work. All of those things work. Mm. It's not just about quote unquote calming down. It can be about using the high of that energy and moving with it in a more intentional way. So incredible tips there. Incredible tips. So I want to do a little recap. Because this ties in with your values, what you've shared so far, what I'm hearing is your network is important. and nurturing your network and staying in touch. You're a very people-oriented person. Nurturing those relationships is important. Listening to people and what they want is important, or what they're saying. Like they're saying, the example you gave before was really beautiful when you were listening to the client. Like they're saying, we are energetically maxed. We are not, we do not have the bandwidth for this right now. It's not a no, but it's a, we are setting the intention for later, and you honored that. Whereas some sales models would be like, you challenge that and you like force them forward and you say that they're avoiding, and you like, you can, you know, there can be some really bro marketing types that would approach that very differently and cause that client to shut down and check out and just give a complete no in the end. So, so listening to the, do you have any more to say on that? Just like really tuning into where the client's at and what they,
and actually,
finding that balance.
As you're reciting that back to me, there's one common thread between the two. And this is actually the first time maybe I've put the two together. Putting the energy into the relationships authentically and the listening is about what's on their agenda. So I'm not thinking about my agenda, because I believe that my agenda will be served through those two things.
Ah, okay.
So really, you know, if I'm listening to what's important to them, I can deliver on that, and then I will get my out, you know, I'll get my outcome of building my business, having great clients, but it's not me walking in going, what can I get from this relationship? How is this relationship going to serve me? And I don't mean to be like, you know, you hear about the servant leadership. I don't mean to be without my own needs at all, because I believe my needs will be met through that. And so it's that abundance of how can I serve in this relationship, or how can I add value in this relationship and listen. And therefore I do think then I get the outcome too, because I feel happy to get the right client at the right time. This morning might have been an example of this. I was recently at a conference in May, and, you know, it was a big investment to go there. I was away for 9 days, flights, accommodation, all in US dollars.
Yeah.
And I gathered so much information. I took so much away from it. And this morning we had an intimate, about a dozen people. Some of them are clients. Some of them are people we've talked about working together or haven't quite. Some of them are in our world where they're consultants and doing that, running their own business. So they'll never be a client of Luminates, but they're in our network and our community. And I invited them along, and I paid for breakfast, and I shared for an hour and a half what I learned. I made everyone handouts. These are the takeaways from this speaker. These are the takeaways from that speaker. Here was a great activity. Here are 7 questions we can ask in our workshops. I can do that for you. You can do that for you. Share with it who you will. And the quote in the beginning for me was like, there is no joy in having something if you can't share it.
Yeah.
And to me, that somebody said, wow, this is really abundant, because I do the same work you do and you could see me as competition.
Yeah.
But you invited me here and you're generous with this. And that was a real gift, that her words back to me. And like, yeah, that's the intention.
Wow. Oh, my mind is just, I'm just blown away right now by the way that you see human connections and relationships and what it is that you have to share without scarcity, without withholding, without like, no, this is mine, you can't have it because
I paid for this.
Yeah, I paid for this.
Yeah. And look, I think there'll be the odd person in life that then will prove me wrong with that strategy or that belief set.
Yep.
And at the same time, I believe there's many who don't. And that doesn't mean that I'm now calling in a favor in 6 months to say, hey, remember when I paid for that ash that awful for you? No, I just think the world will deliver. It'll deliver.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's such trust in that. And it's almost, we don't know, one of my mentors, Susie Ashworth, or I remember her saying, ask with the right, receive with the left. And it's just that you don't We can't be attached to, I'm putting this offer out here and this is how it's going to come back to me. What I like about what you're displaying and role modeling for all of us is that sense of unattachment, letting generosity lead. I have this abundance in my heart. I have this abundance of knowledge. Let me share it. Let it multiply in its own ways. And who knows how, who knows how it will come back to you?
Yeah, and what- who knows? That's it. And you know what? Four people today already said there was things that they took from the notes and what I shared that they will use in the next 48 hours. And I just thought, wow, that into their workplaces, into those people's lives, there's a ripple effect on that. There and it comes back. It comes back. Maybe, yeah. And sometimes you never know how it's come back or why, but I believe that you just got to keep putting it there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always going to be a gamble. Every action we take has a risk. If you withhold, then maybe someone doesn't come to you, or like you said, maybe it will be misused against you or in some way in the future, but you can't, there's always going to be that gamble. And what I take away from you and your presence and energy is you let that full-heartedness lead over that, like over that withholding, scarcity, lack.
Thank you.
It's mine. Possession.
Yeah, it's all mine. Thank you. Thank you. And you know what? There are plenty of people out there who wouldn't agree with that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ask myself, am I happy in what I'm doing? Am I at peace with what I'm doing in the world? Do I feel aligned to my purpose? Do I feel aligned to the impact that I'm having? Hell yes. Yes. Mm. So it's working for me. It's not going to be everyone's recipe, but this is it for me. Mm. And the more aligned I'm finding myself and even speaking it out like this, I'm like, yeah, this is what I do. And I love it. I love it. And when I love what I do, just as you, when we love what we do, then any interaction, when you bring that vibrancy and that energy to it, then it impacts them and so it goes.
Yeah.
You happen to get paid for it, great.
Yeah. The Venn diagram comes together. Yeah. It's like you get to live it, you get to experience it. And this is self-leadership in motion. You are asking yourself, how am I designed? What do I ensure? What feels good, right, aligned, turned on for me? There are other strategies that I'm aware of, and I'm going to take full responsibility for the strategy that I know to work for me in tangible and intangible ways.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. Sherry, thank you so much for sharing such a wealth of knowledge today. Partnerships, I'm hearing like we didn't even get to go there, but this might be part two. Like there's a lot of magnetism in what you do as well. And I think that goes back to the nurturing. The more magnetic you are comes back to the more you know yourself, the more you know what you do, the more you know what you do well, and the more you know who you're meant to be connected to. I think that's where magnetism can work.
Yes, and, you know, at the risk of opening up another piece of dialogue when we're wrapping up, I have a big connection to that word, and especially now at the end of last year, our results weren't where I would have hoped them to be. Mm-hmm. And when Andy and I sat down and we're sitting down with a coach and we're talking and we kept reflecting on the two things, are we being graspy or are we being magnetic? Mm-hmm. And we weren't being magnetic. Mm-hmm. We were graspy. And there's more to that to unpack. I think the dynamics, what I understood is I was out of my generous mindset, actually. But it was getting, he'll listen to this, but I was probably listening to Andy's other ways of considering things too much, that I lost my belief and trust that it will happen if we do these things. And I don't mean just, you know, sprinkle fairy dust. I mean, work hard, but work hard with magnetism, work hard with intuition.
Yes.
Instead of going, how much is that going to cost and what's in the P&L and, oh, my God, are we going to survive these 3 months? Like that with the conversation, they were the conversations.
Yeah.
And it was not serving me, because then how I was showing up was so in that in that energy. It's gross. Yeah. Talking about it, I feel disgusting, like, ugh, yeah. Shake it off. And then the realization when someone said the graspy versus magnetizing, yes, I am not choosing to be magnetic. And so that was that realignment for me. And funny enough, you can have a look at the P&L, the same thing happened. Yeah. Like, and we made some changes, and I made some focus changes and really narrowed my focus a little more. And I'm looking at what's in my cup, where do I get the best energy? When am I at my best? Therefore, I've got to put more of that time in, delegate other tasks, allow other people to do different things. So I wasn't stuck in the work that wasn't filling me up, but still is stuck. So now when you say about magnetic, I'm like, yes, that's 100% what it is, because we were in the graspy.
Yeah.
Doesn't serve anyone.
Yes. Yes. You need to repel in order to attract, and you need to be specific in order to attract. And so I'm hearing that Andy was cautious. Andy was more of like the, but does this make sense? And I think what we women know is that our energy is a driving force for making magic happen in our business. And I hear you strike that beautiful point of conscious effort, being intentional, doing the work, and knowing that the energy piece, when it's full, is going to, I like to click, make that happen.
Yes.
Make that happen. So well done on getting real about striking that balance, that beautiful note that you know to work for you and the business. That's a big move, because there would be people that would still listen to the logic, the details, the spreadsheets, the what does this say? So we need to do more. And it's like, pause.
Yeah.
Where's the energy at?
Yes. Yes.
Where's it being diluted?
Yes.
Where is it unfruitful? Where is it doing something that it think it should, rather than what it knows to be true?
Yes. Yes. Mm. Lots of shoulds at that time. Lots of shoulds.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful moment when I can look back and go, that's exactly where I was, and that is a past chapter, and how distinctly different. Yeah. And how much more joy I feel in my work. And therefore the people around me, no doubt, have the benefit of that too.
Yeah. We all benefit now. We all benefit. When you're topped up, when you're in your magnetism, we all benefit. That's the beautiful thing about you looking out for you and you honoring yourself and being in self-leadership, as opposed to what do people want? What should I do? The way I put it is no one benefits, because everything's just lukewarm and okay. And yeah, that was good. And it's like, but it wasn't fire. It wasn't like ignite. Use your word of the conference. Ignite. Didn't ignite. Like, we want that. That's the standard, right?
That's it. And even illuminate, I think we created that word technically, but you know, like illuminating or illuminate light is just light. And so the name of, you know, bringing light to leadership. Yeah. And if I'm not feeling magnetic, I'm feeling graspy and weighed down, that is not bringing light.
It's not bringing light. No. We want congruence. It's a turn on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have turned me on today. I am feeling incredibly fulfilled from what you shared today. So deep, deep thanks and reverence. And I would love to know I'd love to say to everyone, come to the conference. It's like,
especially because Lauren's speaking, you've got to come see us. You can get on the wait list. Who knows?
Get on the wait list.
I have a little sneaking suspicion. All these people who bought, these companies have bought tables, maybe one or two of them will have there's no promises here, but if I was talking to someone today and they're like, we've got 8 out of our 10, I'm like, well, there's a wait list and who knows?
Yeah, definitely.
People are interested, the 28th of August wait list.
Yeah.
But you can also find us luminateleadership.com.au or our Instagram, my own Cherie Canning as well, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the wonderful places. But I'd love to connect, you know, at the back of this conversation. Somebody says, you know, that quote about your net worth is your network. And sometimes I feel that's a bit crass, but I feel like if it's an authentic connection and an authentic your net worth, you know. So it's about a genuine connection. So I'd love if anyone's listening and they think, oh, let's connect or follow. I would be very, very grateful for any of that. So, yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you for allowing me to hear this out for myself, because this has been very empowering for me. So
beautiful.
I appreciate it greatly. Thank you.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure for me. Thank you. Thanks, Cherie. And everyone, please do send Cherie a message. Say hello. She is the warmest, she's just the warmest person. You'll feel illumination. You will be illuminated when you reach out to her and let her know what you're really going to take from today. There are some really incredible key points that you can instill in your business from today. Really listen to what she said. And I am all on board with everything she said. And it's very much how I run my own business as well. So these approaches work when you approach them with authenticity, with congruence, with alignment at the forefront.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cherie. Quick question. If you were invited to speak at a conference, would you be showing up in your power, in your speaker confidence, and with pleasure? If you suspect the answer is no, and you would like that for yourself, I have something for you. It is my masterclass, 5 Ways to Plug into Your Power and Pleasure to Nail Your Next Speaking Gig, Online Workshop, or Podcast Interview. What would it be like to show up to your next speaking gig knowing that you had it in the bag before you even spoke a word? I'm going to show you 5 key things that have helped dozens of women in business like you show up and deliver with confidence. All the details you need are in the show notes. Come.